for our closing conference of the retreat. I thought we would remain with the Catechism, but concentrate on that part of the Catechism, happens to be part 3, which is called The Life in Christ, the title of our present conference. For 8 days, we have been speaking about prayer from many aspects, some we might otherwise never even have thought of. And then ended by focusing on the Lord's Prayer, including what the Church calls the final doxology. But before the fourth part of the Catechism, there is this, third part, which does indeed include a long treatment of the Decalogue. However, its concentration is on our living the life of Jesus Christ. I could not think of a better epitome for the retreat than to remind ourselves, all the praying we do has finally one purpose, that we might become like Jesus Christ. Now the Catechism, a long prelude before, again, some questions and answers. As Christians, we know that our faith is not just another religion. We know that Christianity is more than a set of moral regulations or a prescribed form of worship. This is made pellucidly clear in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Christianity is nothing if not a unique, distinctive way of life. Better, it is the way of life that God Himself became man to teach us. Before the coming of Christ, there was, as we believe, one divinely revealed religion, namely Judaism. And all the others, and there were many religions that over the years I've taught, Babylonian religion, Egyptian religion, Roman religion, Greek religion. But as one prophet of the Jews after another told the people, all the others are pagans. They are Gentiles. Those who professed Judaism were, by the name that God Himself gave them, His chosen people. With the incarnation, Judaism was. We don't want to say replaced, was elevated by Christianity. Believers in Jesus Christ became what else? The new Israel, the new chosen people, or the language that some Catholics have found a little embarrassing. The followers of Christ are the, stress on the definite article, the people of God. As then we continue, I like to continue, as long as I'm here in the canyon, reflections on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. But here we enter what we've said is called that section of the Catechism which is perfect for the purpose of the retreat, to live the life of Christ. No doubt, a substantial part of this life in Christ, but it's lavi, it is the life of Christ. No doubt, part of it is keeping the Decalogue as Christ sublimated the Decalogue in his Sermon on the Mount. Sure. But the foundation for whatever we do conduct-wise is what the Catechism calls man's vocation. This is our vocation, our life in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Our life in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The opening paragraph of this section is a long quotation from Pope Leo the Great to refresh our memories. That's Pope Leo the First. That's the Pope who are the artists over the centuries have pictured him standing and facing the barbarian Hun. Remember, Attila. Don't you dare. The Pope had a handful of, well, it was priests around him. As far as the eye can reach, Attila had tens of thousands behind him. Yeah. Pope Leo, oh no, oh yes, don't you dare ravage this holy city. Attila bowed, turned around, and took his barbarian Huns out of the city of Rome. That's the Leo we're talking about. Good to know that. It's a long quotation which I think is worth even memorizing. says Leo the Great, Christian, remember your dignity. Now that you share in God's own nature, do not return by sin to your former base condition. Bear in mind who is your head and of whose body you are a member. Do not forget that you have been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the light of God's kingdom. Unquote. Let me repeat. Christian, remember your dignity. Now that you share in God's own nature, do not return by sin to your former base condition. Bear in mind who is your head and of whose body you are a member. Do not forget that you have been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the light of God's kingdom. Notice, as we saw, somewhat surprisingly, in the church's explanation of the closing petition of the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil one. Whatever else I hope you'll remember from this retreat, it is that there is a war going on, and the war is between Christ and the evil spirit. And as I've said so often during the past 8 days, never, not I, but one modern pope after another has told us, never in the history of Christianity has the evil spirit been more active, more powerful, and more devastating than in our century. In 1 year of the 20th century, there have been more murders of unborn children than all the previous centuries of recorded history put together. The birth year of our nation is 1776. Never in the history of America have there been more churches closed, more parishes, written off. Then I would say in the last decade of this century. And even what I believe are the demonically inspired publicities given to the infidelity of bishops and priests. All of this is only a stark reminder how we need in our day, how we need to be told what Pope Leo the Great said some 1,500 years ago. Oh, do not forget that you have been rescued from the power of darkness, so active, so demonically successful in our day, and brought into the light of God's kingdom. These are no ordinary days. We are living in the deepest sense of the words in my vocabulary. We are living in historic times. A complete turnover of human civilization. But only one thing will remain firm, we believe, and that is the church founded by Jesus Christ and those within that church who still believe what I've just read from one of the fathers of the church, Pope Saint Leo the Great. Now, on a more prosaic level, our questions. First question. How does the Apostles' Creed express our dignity as Christians? In the Apostles' Creed, we profess the greatness of God's gifts to us. We are His creatures, whom He brought into being out of nothing. Even more, He redeemed us by the blood of His divine Son, and most of all, He sanctified us by giving us the indwelling of His own Spirit. The three great gifts of God that we remind ourselves of and thank God for every time we recite the Apostles' Creed. Our creation by God the Father. Our redemption by God the Son. And our sanctification by God the Holy Spirit. That, in one sentence, is the Apostles' Creed. Next question. How do the sacraments enable us to live our Christian faith? Well, the Apostles' Creed confesses, the sacraments communicate. Through the sacraments, we are literally reborn as children of God and become sharers by grace in the very life of God. And that, remember, is the sequence of the Catechism. Part 1 is the Apostles' Creed. Professing with our minds what we believe, that divine triad, creation, redemption, and sanctification, the reflection in us of the undivided Trinity in God. But then part 2 of the Catechism. Having professed what we believe, through the sacraments, we obtain what we profess. It is through the sacraments that we, who believe ourselves to be mere creatures of God, who before God made us, we were, in the most absolute sense of the word, nothing. Through the sacraments, we are made children of God. God had first to create us. You can do nothing with nothing. We were nothing. Nothing. Having made us, who were nothing, the verb doesn't fit. We were nothing. Then, having become God's creatures, how mysteriously, as we saw, God used, we dare use that verb, used. God used the sin, oh sin, the ocean of sins of the human race. Dare we say as the occasion for his becoming man, in order that where sin abounded, grace would even more abound. And enables us to become his children by grace. And that is what the sacraments are all about. Two words go together as cause and effect, sacraments and grace. It is through the sacraments that we receive the grace of God. We go on. Next question. How is Jesus Christ our teacher? He is our teacher because we are his disciples. Christ Jesus. And that's the sequence, by the way, in the catechism. Christ Jesus. Always did what was pleasing to his heavenly Father. He always lived in perfect communion with the Father. As Christ's disciples, we too are expected to live in the presence of the Father. We, by grace, as Christ lived in that presence, my nature, in the presence of the Father who sees in secret. And the words of Christ, we are to become, quote, perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is what our faith is all about. We, and no matter how high the number or the statistics of the number of Christians, and fewer still the number of Catholics, and fewer still the number of really professed, believing, and faithful Catholics, we are to be disciples of Christ. A disciple is one who has learned. It is one thing for Christ to be the teacher. As he said, you call me master. your teacher. So I am. But what a difference. 40 years of teaching have taught me. What a difference between teaching people and they learning what you're trying to teach them. Disciple means one watches, who has learned. Or to coin a word, a disciple is one who has been taught. The passive voice of the verb to teach. But listen, God became man, as we try to make clear in the conferences before. God became man for two reasons, not just one. The first and obvious one was that he might have a human nature, and remember in that nature what? A human free will. So that he might not only die for our salvation, but want to die. That's what sacrifice means. It means the willing, the voluntary, the free surrender of something precious. And there's nothing more precious we have on earth than our own lives. God became man so that he might be able to die and have a free will, so he might freely and voluntarily offer his life for us. First reason. But now this is the second reason. And this is where I want to now leave the retreat, because Lord willing, I'll be back for a few days. Sisters, it's a privilege to be here. But the rest of your lives, and how wonderful, how thoughtful of our Lord. And he called Sister Mary Gertrude, remember, to remind all of us, including this sinner, when I walk over to the hostel where I live, I make a sign of the cross over, well, the sand pile covering Sister Mary Gertrude's grave. Oh, by the way, I have talked to Sister Mary Gertrude, have you? Our purpose in life is to fulfill the second purpose that God became man. So that he might teach us, he who is God, that we might become like him, which means like his heavenly Father, because they have the same nature. By doing what? By imitating the virtues that he practiced as man. But get what we're told. He always changed the accent. He, that's Christ Jesus, always lived in perfect communion with his Father. And that's the key. The key to following Christ in imitating his virtues is that interior union with God in the depths of our souls. We go on. How do we become incorporated into Christ? Answer: by baptism. Through this sacrament, we acquire sanctifying grace, which is a supernatural soul of our natural soul. No less than we become human beings through the soul which God infused at our conception, so we become divinized beings through the sanctifying grace infused at our baptism. Not only as much, but we are allowed to say, a greater change takes place at the moment we are baptized than took place when we were conceived in our mother's womb and God created a soul to animate. Well, that just conceived human body. So true is this, that the fathers of the church speak as, and this is the new creation. The first creation was when God made us out of nothing. And the second creation is when, again out of nothing, God created sanctifying grace, and no less, that He infused our souls into our bodies. So He infused His own divine life into our souls. Next question. What is our responsibility as partakers of the divine nature through baptism? What is our responsibility? It is nothing less than to become dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We are to follow Jesus Christ. In union with Him, we are to imitate God as beloved children and live in love. Quotation from St. Paul. Whatever else the Catechism keeps stressing, and for the best of reasons, that's also the emphasis, especially of St. Paul. Of ourselves, what can we do? As Christ told us, nothing. All we can do is destroy. All we can do is annihilate. From the Latin nihil, nothing. All we can do is nothing gate, which is a literal translation of annihilate. But with the life of God infused into us at baptism, you're able to imitate God. Say that again. We can imitate God. So the next and the last question in this conference, and I would suggest the purpose of this retreat. How do we imitate God? We imitate God and memorize these two verbs. We imitate God first by conforming our thoughts, words, and actions to the mind of Jesus Christ. And secondly, how do we imitate God? By following Christ's example. These are the words of the Catechism, which are really the teaching of the church to which we belong and of the Christ in whom we believe. Two purposes we have in life: to have the same mind that it was in Christ Jesus, to think like God, who became man so he might have human thoughts, which then we can conform our mind to his mind. And secondly, how do we imitate God? By following the example that Christ gave us in his mortal life on earth. That's why he became mortal. God became mortal. Why are we mortal? Because we're sinners. But Christ is no sinner. True. But in order to give us the means of following his example, or to make sure we'd have no complaint, my Jesus, we would be tempted to say, I want to imitate you, but you are not mortal like me. He became mortal. As a mortal man, he experienced how we need to hear this. He experienced all the suffering, all the pain, all the trials that are the prelude to human mortality. The moment you say that someone is mortal, you must then say that person then is capable of suffering. Pain is a prelude to death. Suffering is a preparation for death. The cross, our daily cross, and that means not just once a day, but I have to say this all day. Our daily cross is a preparation for that death which we know because Christ died for us. We are able to die every moment of our mortal life on earth. He for us, we for Him. So that then, when our body dies, oh, the joy of our bodily death, the dawn of eternity, and the vocation to join Christ Jesus in the glory of His Heavenly Father. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.